This program is intended for an audience that is blind and print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the initial broadcast. This is Kirk Benrood with the North Carolina Reading Service, and I want to welcome you to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about upcoming productions on the stage and on the screen that are available with audio description. Okay, let's see what's on stage with audio description. In Raleigh, on Thursday, March 27th, we've got Morning After Grace. It's an 8 o'clock show at Raleigh Little Theater, which is at 301 Pogue Street. Keep in mind, Raleigh Little Theater will give you a free ticket for your driver. This hilarious and heartwarming show, it's an unconventional new comedy that tackles love, loss, and coming to terms with growing old. After hooking up at a funeral, Angus and Abigail find themselves waking up the next morning on Angus' sofa. Enter neighbor Ollie, a former baseball player who now enjoys golf and yoga. Nothing is as it seems with this trio, and every disclosure reveals a new perspective. Set in a Florida retirement community, this charming and big-hearted comedy takes us on an unexpected journey toward a new lease on life. Now, Morning After Grace was written by Carrie Krim. This is directed by Bonnie Webster. Tickets for adults are $31. Seniors and students are $27. Remember to ask for the free ticket for your driver. The number to call is 919-821-3111. That's 919-821-3111. A little further down the road, in April, North Carolina Opera is going to be offering The Marriage of Figaro, and we'll have details on that next month. In Durham, on Saturday, March 8th, at the Durham Performing Arts Center, is a 2 o'clock show of Shucked. Durham Performing Arts Center is at 123 Vivian Street in Durham. They tell us that this is the funniest musical of the year. Shucked is the Tony Award-winning musical comedy the Wall Street Journal calls flat-out hilarious. And nobody knows funny like economists. Featuring a book by Tony Award winner Robert Horn, a score by Grammy Award-winning songwriting team Brandy Clark and Shane McAnally, and directed by Tony Award winner Jack O'Brien, this corn-fed, corn-bred American musical is sure to satisfy your appetite for great musical theater. Their tickets start at $27, and you can contact Durham Performing Arts Center, or DPAC, at 919-680-2787. That's 919-680-2787. In Chapel Hill, on Wednesday, March 19th, a 7:30 showing of Confederates at Playmakers Repertory Company, which lives at 120 Country Club Road in Chapel Hill. It's written by Dominique Morisseau. It's directed by Christopher Windham. And they tell us that history isn't a straight line. This groundbreaking play weaves a tapestry of parallel struggles for two brilliant black women living centuries apart. Sarah, a Union spy during the Civil War, and Sandra, a modern-day university professor, confront intersecting biases of racism and sexism that feel all too familiar. It's provocative, highly theatrical, and it's an exploration that challenges perceptions and resonates with humor and intelligence. Their tickets start at $20, and you can contact Playmakers Repertory Company at 919-962-7529. That's 919-962-7529. And now movies. We'll start with a list. We've got A Complete Unknown, Bad Boys, Ride or Die, Captain America, Brave New World. A brand new one is called Cleaner. Next is Companion, Dogman, Heart Eyes, another brand new one, Last Breath, Love Hurts, Moana 2, Mufasa the Lion King, and My Dead Friend is another brand new one, One of Them Days, Paddington in Peru, Riff Raff is brand new, The Monkey, The Unbreakable Boy, and Wicked Part 1. And now after that list, let's take a look at what these are about. I'm going to start with the brand new ones. We've got Cleaner, which runs an hour and 38 minutes. It's rated R for violence, language throughout, and brief drug use. It is an action-drama thriller. Set in present-day London, a group of radical activists take over an energy company's annual gala, seizing 300 hostages in order to expose the corruption of the hosts. Their just cause is hijacked by an extremist within their ranks who is ready to murder everyone in the building to send his anarchic message to the world. It falls to an ex-soldier turned window cleaner, played by Daisy Ridley, suspended 50 stories up on the outside of the building to save those trapped inside, including her younger brother. Last Breath runs an hour and 33 minutes. It's rated PG for brief, strong language, and this is a drama thriller. A heart-pounding film that follows seasoned deep-sea divers as they battle the raging elements to rescue their crewmate, trapped hundreds of feet below the ocean's surface. Based on a true story, Last Breath is an electrifying story about teamwork, resilience, and a race against time to do the impossible. And from the same director, there is a Netflix documentary about this true story. My Dead Friend Zoe, still one of the new ones. It's a comedy, drama, war movie. It's a dark comedy drama that follows the journey of Merritt, a U.S. Army Afghanistan veteran who is at odds with her family thanks to the presence of Zoe, her dead best friend from the Army. Despite the persistence of her VA group counselor, the tough love of her mother, and the levity of an unexpected love interest, Merritt's cozy, dysfunctional friendship with Zoe keeps the duo insulated from the world. This is until Merritt's estranged grandfather, holed up at the family's ancestral lake house, begins to lose his way and needs the thing he refuses: help. At its core, this is a buddy film about a complicated friendship, a divided family, and the complex ways in which we process grief. Riff Raff, also new, is an hour and 43-minute movie rated R for some strong language, or strong violence, rather, pervasive language, sexual content and nudity, and some drug use. And this is a comedy crime. A former criminal's ordinary life, which is turned upside down when his family shows up for a long-awaited reunion. And then other movies that are not brand new this week. A Complete Unknown runs 2 hours and 20 minutes, rated R for language. It's a biography, drama, music genre. It's set in the influential New York City music scene of the early 1960s. A Complete Unknown follows 19-year-old Minnesota musician Bob Dylan's meteoric rise as a folk singer to concert halls and the top of the charts as his songs and his mystique become a worldwide sensation that culminates in his groundbreaking electric rock and roll performance at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965. Bad Boys, Ride or Die runs an hour and 55 minutes. It's rated R for strong violence, language throughout and some sexual references. The genre is action, adventure, comedy, crime, thriller. When their late police captain gets linked to drug cartels, wisecracking Miami cops, Mike Lowry and Marcus Burnett, embark on a dangerous mission to clear his name. With this film, the Bad Boys franchise broke $1 billion at the global box office. Development was briefly suspended following Will Smith's notorious slapping of Chris Rock at the Academy Awards and his subsequent investigation. Captain America: Brave New World runs 2 hours. It's rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence and language, some strong language. The genre is action, adventure, sci-fi. Sam Wilson, the new Captain America, finds himself in the middle of an international incident and must discover the motive behind a nefarious global plan. Companion runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. It's rated R for strong violence, sexual content, and language throughout. It's a sci-fi thriller. A billionaire's death sets off a chain of events for Iris and her friends during a weekend trip to his lakeside estate. Dog Man runs 1 hour and 29 minutes. It's rated PG. The genre is animation, action, adventure, comedy, crime, family, fantasy, sci-fi. Dog Man, half dog and half man, he is sworn to protect and preserve as he doggedly pursues his feline supervillain, Petey the Cat. DreamWorks Animation's 9th film to be based off a children's book. Heart Eyes runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. It's rated R for strong violence and gore, language, and some sexual content. It's a comedy horror mystery. For the past several years, the Heart Eyes killer has wreaked havoc on Valentine's Day by stalking and murdering romantic couples. This Valentine's Day, no couple is safe. Love Hurts runs 1 hour and 23 minutes. It's rated R for strong, bloody violence and language throughout. It's an action comedy. A realtor is pulled back into the life he left behind after his former partner in crime resurfaces with an ominous message. With his crime lord brother also on his trail, he must confront his past and the history he never fully buried. Moana 2 runs 1 hour and 40 minutes. It's rated PG. It's an animation, adventure, comedy, family, fantasy, musical. This takes audiences on an expansive new voyage with Moana, Maui, and a brand new crew of unlikely seafarers. After receiving an unexpected call from her wayfinding ancestors, Moana must journey to the far seas of Oceania and into dangerous, long-lost waters for an adventure unlike anything she's ever faced. Mufasa the Lion King runs 1 hour and 58 minutes. It's rated PG, and this is an animation, adventure, drama, family, fantasy, musical. Mufasa, a cub lost and alone, meets a sympathetic lion named Taka, the heir to a royal bloodline. The chance meeting sets in motion an expansive journey with a group of misfits searching for their destiny. One of Them Days runs 1 hour and 37 minutes. It's rated R for language throughout, sexual material, and brief drug use. This is a comedy. When best friends and roommates, Drew and Alyssa, discover Alyssa's boyfriend has blown their rent money, the duo finds themselves going to extremes in a race against the clock to avoid eviction and keep their friendship intact. Paddington in Peru runs 1 hour and 46 minutes. It's rated PG. It's an adventure comedy family mystery. Paddington returns to Peru to visit his beloved aunt Lucy, who now resides at the Home for Retired Bears. With the Brown family in tow, a thrilling adventure ensues when a mystery plunges them into an unexpected journey through the Amazon rainforest and up to the mountain peaks of Peru. And incidentally, the author of Paddington, Michael Bond, appears as a stamp. The Monkey runs an hour and 38 minutes. It's rated R for strong bloody content, gore, language throughout, and some sexual references. It's a horror movie. When twin brothers Bill and Hal find their father's old monkey toy in the attic, a series of gruesome deaths start. The siblings decide to throw the toy away and move on with their lives, growing apart over the years. And this is based on a short story from Stephen King's Skeleton Crew. The Unbreakable Boy runs an hour and 55 minutes. It's rated PG for strong thematic material, alcohol abuse, language, and some violence. This is a drama. A young boy with both a rare brittle bone disease and autism. But what makes him truly unique is his joyful, funny, life-affirming worldview that transforms and unites everyone around him. And this is based on a true story. Wicked Part 1 runs 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's rated PG for some scary action, thematic material, and brief suggestive material. It's a fantasy musical romance. A vivid reimagining of the classic, The Wizard of Oz, Wicked spotlights the untold stories of Oz's most famous or infamous characters, namely the Wicked Witch of the West and her unlikely friend Glinda, the Good Witch. The show follows green-skinned star Elphaba from birth to college and through the life-changing events which eventually labeled her Wicked, introducing spoiled rich girl Glinda, local prince and heartthrob Fiero, and even the Wizard of Oz himself, a troubled man very unlike the one you may remember. As Elphaba, a passionate political activist, if ever there was one, fights injustice and seeks to undo the mistakes of the past, dark secrets and personal tragedies shape the history of Oz, paying homage to the classic Wizard of Oz story, while simultaneously changing fans' understanding of it forever. A cautionary tale about love, friendship, and trust, Wicked effortlessly reveals that there are indeed two sides to every story. Let's take a look at what James Berardinelli of Real Views has to say about Last Breath. He gives it 2.5 out of a possible 4 stars. He tells us that Last Breath has epic potential, but opts instead to present its gritty survival tale with as little fat as possible. So little, in fact, that it cuts too close to the bone at times. Based on a true story, it tracks its documentary source material with precision, an approach that disallows the kind of expansion and, yes, fictionalization that would make for a stronger story. The movie is in need of a better excavated background and more fully realized characters. One wonders what the motivation was for making a feature movie out of something that was already adequately explored in the documentary. The film starts with a brief introduction to three main characters, a trio of saturation divers about to embark on a 28-day mission to do undersea repairs at a depth of 330 feet. They are veteran Duncan Allock, played by Woody Harrelson, taciturn Dave Uwasa, played by Simu Liu, and relative neophyte Chris Lemons, played by Finn Cole. The setup is perfunctory, providing glimpses of the interaction among the principals and allowing for some banter between Duncan and the dive supervisor, Craig, played by Mark Bonar. Then it's down into the depths, While the divers are beginning their work, the ship to which they are tethered loses its propulsion system in a storm and begins to drift. This creates an emergency situation for the divers. Chris's umbilical cord becomes entangled before being severed. He is then cut off with no communications, no heating system in his suit, and only 10 minutes of oxygen in a spare tank. Rescue operations headed up by Duncan and Dave cannot begin until the cause of the ship's failure can be identified and fixed. There's nothing about Last Breath that cries must see. The production is workmanlike, with some solid underwater photography credited to First Unit Director Ian Seabrook, but it feels more like a good made-for-TV or made-for-streaming production than an immersive big-screen experience. Although keeping the running time to a skinny 93 minutes avoids slow patches, it also doesn't allow the characters to develop. They remain two-dimensional throughout. The only concession the movie makes to fleshing anyone out is giving Chris a fiancé, played by Bobby Rainsbury, and showing his trailer home in Scotland. Although this approach is arguably better than larding the movie up with soap opera material, one would think there's a better balance somewhere. The rescue scenes are handled well, but could have been more suspenseful had the build-up been expertly executed. One wonders what James Cameron might have done with a similar premise. Woody Harrelson's involvement is likely what got the movie greenlighted. He's given first billing, but his character does little more than sit around in the diving bell, looking concerned and occasionally offering folksy advice. Simu Liu has a little more to do. He's the one who does all the legwork on the rescue and gets the film's one beefcake moment. But the character is as underwritten as he is inscrutable. Finn Cole gets less time than one might expect for the individual at the center of the action. And a lot of the people on the ocean-top ship are given moments, but none resonate. Cliff Curtis, playing the ship's captain, does a fair amount of squinting and nodding. The movie's no-frills approach allows for occasional outbursts of tension, but those are neither as sustained nor as white-knuckle as they should be. Watching Last Breath, I was reminded of Touching the Void, another survival story that merged documentary elements with feature footage. This movie doesn't approach the same level of engagement and suspense. Although I was suitably diverted by Last Breath, I couldn't help but feel there was a missed opportunity to tell a more riveting story that, for whatever reason, the filmmakers chose not to pursue. And Mr. Berardinelli gives The Monkey 3 out of 4 stars. Osgood Perkins' radical reimagining of the Stephen King short story is plenty entertaining in its own right for those with a sufficiently warped sense of humor. The film has a delicious fetish for different forms of violent death and works well as a catalog of offbeat ways to deliver servings of blood and viscera to its audience. Perkins uses King's work to provide the bones of his narrative, but his tongue-in-cheek screenplay is darker than anything the master of horror put on paper. Straight horror has lost some of its luster in recent years, with many filmmakers opting to infuse their movies with dark humor, irony, and or meta-elements. The Monkey sees Perkins trading in existential obtuseness for a more comedic take on the genre. The production is rarely, if ever, frightening, and the lack of jump scare is notable, but it's often quite funny. Following a brief prologue set in 1999, the movie jumps ahead several years to follow the lives of twin brothers Hal and Bill, both played by Christian Covery. Hal is the good kid and Will is the bad egg, a bully and all-around nasty piece of work. Their mother, Lois, played by Tatiana Maslany, does the best she can for her sons, but without a husband, who has a brief appearance in the prologue where he's played by Adam Scott, it's an uphill climb. One day, while rifling through their father's packed-up belongings, the boys discover a strange toy, a monkey drummer with a wind-up key. They soon learn that there's a connection between the monkey's drum playing and a few bizarre accidental deaths. The boys make the connection, but perhaps not quickly enough. 25 years later, Hal, played by Theo James, estranged from his brother, leads a solitary life, not wanting to put any friends or family at risk from the curse that seems to follow him. He sees his son, Petey, played by Colin O'Brien, only once a year, and during one of those visits, he receives a phone call from Bill. It seems their Aunt Ida, played by Sarah Levy, has died in a strange fashion. Bill believes the monkey may have resurfaced, and he convinces Hal to go to Ida's house and see if he can locate the toy. Petey, making a case for father-son bonding time, convinces his dad to bring him along. It might be fun to put together a list of various ways in which Perkins eliminates characters. No one dies in a seemingly simple or straightforward manner. One character is trampled by a horse stampede, with his remains looking something that might appeal to Agent Cooper. Another explodes after being electrocuted. One gets decapitated while watching the show at a teppanyaki restaurant. Another has an unfortunate encounter with a bunch of angry hornets. And still another discovers the dangers of real estate signs on a front lawn. And that's all before the meteor storm. The characters are thinly drawn, although the viewer is apt to develop an affinity for Hal, simply because he survives repeated humiliations and keeps going. Still, the movie isn't about character development, relationship building, or even the theme of everyone dies, it's just a matter of when. No, this is all about whether a character's death is sufficiently interesting to warrant exposure to what one assumes will be a jaded audience. There's a built-in expectation that viewers of The Monkey will not be Hallmark Channel devotees. One of the five films he has made, The Monkey, represents Perkins' most accessible, primarily because it subverts its murderous elements with a dollop of dark humor. That ultimately proves to be a better match for the director than his previous focus on style and atmosphere. And although he changes a lot from King's story, the essential horror elements remain, playing on the universal fear of a child's toy being an instrument of death. This movie isn't quite as unhinged as the trailer indicates, but it's far off enough off the beaten path to provide enjoyment for those who enjoy their blood and guts served with a twist. And all of the movies mentioned in this broadcast are available at theaters run by Cinemark, Regal, or AMC. For Cinemark, you can get their schedule by going to cinemark.com/movies. That's CINEMARK.com. For Regal, go to regmovies.com. And for AMC, it's AMCTheatres.com. And that's it for this episode of Movie and Theater Previews. Hopefully, this information will be useful. Remember, the program will be in podcast after the broadcast, so you can double-check anything you like. I'm Kurt Benrud for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.